Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
We have another airline incident. So a Houston-bound 737-800 plane operated by Southwest Airlines, it did return safely to Denver International Airport this weekend after an engine cover fell off and struck the wing flap. In recorded air traffic control audio, one of the pilots said,
we got several passengers and flight attendants heard something loud hit the wing, and we're going to turn this thing back around and land it back in Houston.
Now, the video, you hear the audio as they're landing. So it's they're already, on the ground, and you can see the flap. Oh, boy. Just blowing. And they're landing. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Yeah, it's over. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. I would, that would not be, that would be not a happy passenger, seeing that happen to your, to your engine. Hey, you want to turn this thing around? I mean, there's a, you know, a giant engine cover that fell off flapping around alongside the wing. Wow. So obviously Southwest apologizes for the inconvenience of their delay, and they place the highest priority on ultimate safety of our customers, employees. No injuries were reported. Its maintenance teams would review the aircraft. Maybe that's the issue, is the maintenance teams. That's all I'm saying. I know they deemed this particular plane airworthy in 2015, and I know it's a Boeing plane, and it's always Boeing's fault. Everything is Boeing's fault. But it seems to me, as a, just a casual observer of airlines falling apart, that perhaps there is a maintenance issue that needs to be addressed, not just a Boeing issue. But thankfully, this particular airline out of Denver on its way to Houston was able to say,
several passengers and flight attendants heard something loud hit the wing. We're going to go ahead and turn this thing around.
Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So the average number of sexual partners can vary significantly from country to country, cultural norms, impact, especially the number of people someone has sex with. But according to World Population Review, they are telling us the top countries with the highest number of sexual partners. Huh. And you think to yourself, well, it must be the United States of America. No. According to this, in the United States, the average number of sexual partners is 10.7. And that's tied for 12th in the world with Canada, 10.7. Hate to see that 0.7 person, huh? Anyway, the top 10 countries for the most sexual partners, Turkey is number one. Coming in at number one, Turkey, 14.5. Australia, 13.3 sexual partners. New Zealand, 13.2. Iceland, 13. Then we get into the 12s, which is South Africa, Finland, Norway. Italy and Sweden are 11.8, almost 12. And then Switzerland and Ireland are 11.1. And then we have the United States and Canada tied in there. But Turkey is number one. It got me got me really thinking. I started thinking about, well, geez, I wonder how many partners I've had. So I'll give you a moment to think about your answer. Is it 10.7 in your lifetime, as this World Population Review claims here in the United States of America? So I'll give you a moment. Let's just think about it, shall we? Oh, Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. There's one. I remember her. There's two. I remember her. There's three. Uh-huh. Think about it. And then there's four. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Number five. And number six. Yep. And, oh, yeah. Seven. Eight. Hello. And then, oh, can't forget nine. And then 10. And then there's that 0.7. Yep, exactly. Exactly. 10.7. How about you? I mean, to be clear, I really was a virgin until I was married, and that's the way it should be, right? You know, with the first wife, and then obviously the second wife wasn't a virgin when I married her. Anyway, I'm not admitting to any of the 10.7 plus in my history, but I'm sure you'll be thinking about it. But it's weird because they say that Louisiana has an average of 15.7 sexual partners, and by comparison, the people of Utah, 62% of the state of Utah who belong to the who are LDS, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, report an average of 2.6 sexual partners. And, you know, I mean, if you believe in the teachings, that's even too many. That's too many, darn it. And it claims in this story that the age at which someone loses his or her virginity can also impact the number of sexual partners they have. People tend to lose their virginity in the United States at 17 years of age. Wow, 17? I mean, good for them. I am not going to start thinking about that because it wasn't 17. And then you start thinking about the documentary 40-Year-Old Virgin. And, you know, I mean, my favorite scene in that is when the guy is saying, "Oh, don't worry about it. It'll happen. There's no rush. How old are you?" 40. Holy, you got to get on that, man. And remember, it's not the head count. It's the love involved between the two people. Am I right? Of course I am. You know, for example, today is solar eclipse day, right? If you're listening live, today is the 8th of April, 2024, and the world is bracing for the total solar eclipse. In fact, I live in DFW, where it's going to be the totality. And in some areas, the totality will be 4 minutes. And other areas, the totality will be 2 minutes or a minute and a half. I mean, if you were, say, in love with somebody, and there's never going to be another eclipse ever. I mean, this is the only eclipse ever to happen on the planet right now, today. It might be, a good idea to maybe, be the couple that has a little business during the eclipse. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there has to be some kind of OnlyFans eclipse business viewing going on. If there's not, my gosh, well, this is not the America I know. Speaking of OnlyFans, you see where they're saying that if Britney Spears were to go on OnlyFans, she could make like $100 million a year. That I actually believe. Now, she said she's never going to return to the music industry, and to live the life she's become accustomed to, she's going to need a way to make some cash. And to do that, perhaps Britney needs to join OnlyFans. That's the theory. So, I mean, it's possible she could make a whole bunch of money on OnlyFans. Now, according to the statistics, the earnings would be, you know, maybe for the first month of launch, she could make anywhere from $13 to $18 million. First month. And then obviously it would calm down to where she would be making, $6 to $9 million a month on OnlyFans. I mean, Brit, what are you doing? Let's make that happen. I mean, she's almost there on her Instagram page, right? She's almost there. She shares all kinds of blurry photos captured on her smartphone. She's going to have to start using a better camera. Maybe she does the same thing without covering it up on OnlyFans so that she doesn't get too outrageous. But instead of dancing with clothes on, she could dance naked, and that would be behind the paywall. Because a lot of her followers, according to this report, are women, right? And they love Brit, of course. And so they're not going to want her to get, completely porned out on OnlyFans. But she could actually make some serious cash on OnlyFans, and that would be, wow. I mean, Baywatch star Denise Richards. She's reportedly making $2 million a month on OnlyFans. I mean, I'm thinking about joining OnlyFans. If I can make $2 million a month on OnlyFans, I might do that. Now, if I start doing that, I'd have to move because I'd need a new house. You're making $2 or more million a month? Yeah, you're going to want to move. So that's when I would have to reach out to realestateagentsitrust.com. Well, because, you know, if you're one of the homeowners who's trying to buy or sell a home or both, you're going to discover what a nightmare selling and buying a home is. And almost nothing about getting a house ready to put on the market is easy. And if that's, of course, if you're doing it the right way and you're negotiating a sale, and if you're wanting to buy, it's not as straightforward as it sounds. And you're going to want the best real estate agents you can find. But the good news is you can find all the help you need buying or selling through Real Estate Agents I Trust. It's Glenn Beck's company. You know him. He's the guy that runs this company, as a matter of fact. And he also runs realestateagentsitrust.com. He started it a while ago because he tried to sell a home and he could never sell. It was a nightmare. And he had a nightmare trying to find real estate agents that were worthy. And he thought, what the heck? If I'm having this problem, other people must be as well. So he wanted to start a company that could actually help people. And that's Real Estate Agents I Trust. They pair you up with the top sellers in your area, the people who really know the ropes of the business, because they do it full time and they care about getting it right. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. And look, all the hassle that comes with trying to buy and sell homes, it's nice to have the help. And that's where Real Estate Agents I Trust comes in. The name really does kind of say it all, doesn't it? RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. That's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Be sure to follow me on all the social media sites, at JeffyJFR on X, Jeff Fisher Radio on Facebook and Instagram. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You can follow me on my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. And you could order a cameo from me. That most definitely is not free, however, at JeffyJFR on the Cameo app. Just be sure to tell me what you want. Happy, glad, sad, mad, mean. And I'll be happy to do it for you at JeffyJFR on Cameo. Congratulations are in order for either, you know, a person, place, or thing. One person in Oregon won the $1.33 billion jackpot. $621 million cash payout, if that's what you wanted. So one person in Oregon won. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 $1 million winners. Arizona, Delaware, Florida, Iowa, Maine, Michigan, Wyoming. So congratulations to all the winners of the Powerball. It's back to a lowly $20 million. And yeah, all right. Good luck. God bless. They have a drawing tonight that's worth $20 million. Then we got a Mega Millions drawing coming up tomorrow on the 9th of April, 2024, for $97 million. is the jackpot. $45.0 million is the cash payout. So good luck. I saw a story of this lady, Rashawn Tolliver of Kentucky. She was playing a scratch-off lottery ticket and won $90,000. Now, that's pretty sweet. Every one of us could use an extra $90,000, no question. So she purchased, she was at a gas station, a Hopkinsville gas station. It doesn't say the name of the gas station, but it's in Hopkinsville, so you know it's right there. So she had the seven symbols on the last ticket, securing the top prize. She was all fired up, and she won $90,000. Now, she received a check for $64,800 after taxes, and according to this story, she was able to fulfill her desire to quit her job. Wow. Okay, so it doesn't say in this story, though, does it fulfill her need to quit the job she has, and this will give her an opportunity to go out and find a better job? Because, wow, $64,800 is not retirement money. I don't care where you live. Now, maybe just outside of Hopkinsville, you could pull it off, but just outside of DFW or inside DFW where I live, that's not happening. So we had the big CMT Awards. Congratulations to all the winners. I see where Jelly Roll took home three of the awards, and he was nominated for three, and so he won each award he was nominated for, including Video of the Year for his hit song, Need a Favor. Congratulations to Jelly Roll. And I see where Wilson, Brooks and Dunn, and Sammy Hagar honored the late country music star Toby Keith with a celebratory tribute performance backed by his longtime band. Keith's family were there. They raised a red cup. It was emotional. A toast was given by former major league pitcher Roger Clemens. I may have to go back and watch that. Trisha Yearwood received the inaugural June Carter Cash Humanitarian Award, saying in her speech that her mantra is love one another. And that her challenge to all of us is to not just say it, but let's actually go out there and do it. But right, Trisha. Well, congratulations on receiving the inaugural June Carter Cash Humanitarian Award. And congratulations to all the other victors in the CMT Awards. Our boy, Morgan Wallen, was nominated for Male Video of the Year, which he did not win. He lost to the Jelly Roll. Which may mean why he threw the chair out of the sixth floor of a Nashville bar. I don't know. It was a grand opening at the bar in Nashville. Chiefs Bar, owned by fellow country musician Eric Church. And they were having their big, grand opening. And so Morgan was there, and I guess he tossed the chair out of the sixth floor window. And he almost hit three people on the ground. Well, I guess it was police officers that he almost hit. That's always a mistake. So they arrested him. And they arrested him just after 12:30 a.m. on Monday. He was charged with three counts of reckless endangerment, one count of disorderly conduct. He was apparently laughing and smiling. His mugshot, he is smiling. He said that... Well, he didn't say anything. He was just laughing. His reps and legal team did not have a comment when asked. Now, I realize because it was said on Instagram, it makes it true. But one person said, I worked there. The chair damn near took out two cops. He threw it from the sixth floor. Okay, calm down. All right. So anyway, he's supposed to come back to Davidson County Criminal Court on May 3rd to face these charges, which aligns because he's going to be in town for a concert at Nissan Stadium on the 2nd of the 4th. So, hey, I might as well show up and go before the judge as long as I'm here to, I got to be here for a concert. I might as well go before the judge. Now, Morgan's been in trouble before. I'm not sure. The mugshot from this incident appears to me that he's not
really drunk or high, but it's very possible he could have been. The mugshot, he's just smiling and looking at the pictures. Looking at the camera. So we shall see. I mean, he's out on bond, $15,250. Wow. And when he was being arrested, he just, you know, laughed at the ordeal. Okay. So remember, this is not the first time, though, as I said. Remember, he was arrested for intoxication and disorderly conduct after being kicked out of Kid Rock's Honky Tonk Bar back in 2020. And, of course, he apologized for his behavior. And I just wanted to clear the air. I went downtown, had a couple of bar stops. We were horse playing. We didn't mean any harm. I want to say sorry to the bar staff or anyone that was affected. Thank you to all the local authorities for being so professional and doing their job with class. Okay, love y'all. That's nice. Now, and he had a DUI in 2016. That case was dismissed. And don't forget that he also got in trouble back in 2021. I mean, how you can't even remember that far back. After he was caught using the N-word in a video recorded with his friends, and he made a public apology for that as well. I mean, he almost lost the whole thing with that. I mean, he can throw chairs out of a bar. He can have a DUI. He can get in a fight and be mad, just horse playing at a bar. But you say the N-word with friends on a video, your career is over. But it wasn't. He's got 36 songs and hits, and so I mean he's a big star these days. So Morgan, good luck. God bless. Who died today? Who died today? Well, we'll start off with someone who, well, he didn't really die. He's just leaving. Pat Sajak, 41 seasons on Wheel of Fortune, and he's giving it up. He taped his final episode last week. I guess we'll see the final episode on June 7th. So Pat is done after 41 seasons on Wheel of Fortune. Just incredible. Yes.
Wait. Pat Sajak is giving up Wheel of Fortune?
Yes, that's the story, dear.
No. Okay, so in 40 seasons or 41 seasons. Yes. So you're not telling me within 6 to 8 months we're going to be reading about him on Who Died Today.
So he actually will be on Who Died Today. That's your theory?
That is my theory, because think about it. Most radio hosts that retire are usually dead within 6 to 8 months. And tell me my record's not wrong, because I've said it before with a few.
Okay, your record's right on radio hosts. I don't know if you know this. Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune is television.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay.
It is.
All right. You heard it here first, right here on Chewing the Fat. 6 to 8 months, Pat Sajak will actually be in Who Died Today? So I guess rest in peace, Pat. I mean, that's one thing I will say. My wife, Amber, has believed in that theory in a long time. It has proven true. That when radio hosts retire, it's not long. They're not long for the world, because that's what we do. We work, and that's what keeps us going. I don't disagree with that at all. Okay, so are we in Who Died Today or not? No, Pat didn't die. I want to congratulate. Last week, we talked about the oldest man in the world dying at 114. He was, of course, in Who Died Today. But we now have the oldest living man at the age of 111 and 223 days. He's almost 112. John Tenniswood, great grandfather. Congratulations to John. He's residing in a care home in Southport. I guess he's from Merseyside, so I guess that's the United Kingdom. Yes, since it says here he's a big Liverpool FC fan, so of course that's the United Kingdom. You can't be a Liverpool FC fan if you live outside of the United Kingdom. That's just darn near effect. So he still maintains his own finances. He doesn't attribute his longevity to any specific lifestyle choices or diet. Says he does enjoy indulging in battered fish and chips every Friday. He says he attributes his long life to pure luck. And he said that he refrains from smoking and limits his alcohol consumption, stays informed by listening to the radio, and still manages his finances, as I said. And his advice to maintaining health revolves around moderation, cautioning against excessive indulgence in any activity. Right. I mean, of course. Of course that's what he believes. So anyway, that's the new oldest living man on the planet, John Tenniswood. Welcome to the Old Man Club. This is actually should be a Who Died Today. All the 99 cents stores are closing nationwide. Really incredible that they're going out of business. 371 locations, 17,000 employees. They have locations in Texas, California, Arizona, and Nevada. You know, 99 cents only stores. Rest in peace. Wow, no kidding. All right, so let's get to the actual Who Died Today? Who died today? An actor, a U.S. actor, has been found dead. And he was in the Yellowstone spinoff, 1923. Cole Brings Plenty. That's his name. Cole Brings Plenty, who was in the Yellowstone spinoff series 1923. I'm guessing if you saw a picture of him and you watched 1923, you would go, oh yeah, that's him. He's 27 years old. It looks like he may have did it to himself. His body was discovered by local police because they went to examine an unoccupied vehicle. The family had been looking for him. He'd gone missing. He missed an appointment with his agent. And he was named as a suspect in a domestic violence investigation. So things, I guess, were spinning out of control for Cole Brings Plenty. So Cole Brings Plenty, rest in peace, dead at the age of 27. Then we have the founder of Genius, formerly known as Rap Genius. He has passed away at the age of 41. His obituary states he died due to complications from a reoccurring brain tumor. Man, do I hate that. Every time a brain tumor shows up, go away. It's, you know, sad at 41. And the reoccurring brain tumor, you don't know how long, how many times he was told that it's gone and then it grew back. Just sad. So rest in peace, Genius, at the age of 41. Then we have CJ Snare, the singer, longtime running hair metal band Firehouse, has passed away at the age of 64. I mean, the group had scored Hot 100 hits in the early 90s with singles like Love of a Lifetime, When I Look Into Your Eyes. Today is a sad day for rock and roll. And it's great sorrow that we say we lost a brother, CJ Snare, a rock and roll warrior. He underwent abdominal surgery like 6 months ago and postponed some gigs, but no cause of death was provided for this particular death. So it couldn't be that. If it was that, they would have said something. Rest in peace, CJ Snare, dead at the age of 64. So we continue on with Who Died Today? Legendary hip-hop R&B saxophonist, dead at the age of 45. Casey Benjamin, who has, he was known all over the place. He's won a Grammy, Best R&B Album in 2015. He worked with a tribe called Quest. It's his brother Kevin said he did not say where he died in Maryland, but his cause was pulmonary thromboembolism. So, I'm not a doctor, But that is blood clots, if I'm not mistaken, to in the arteries and the lungs. And so it couldn't have been that. It couldn't have been that that caused the pulmonary embolism. Otherwise, they would have said it, right? Yeah, they would have said it. So rest in peace, legendary hip-hop Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Casey Benjamin, dead at the age of 45. All right, we've got some animals in the news. This story just, I don't know, I'm confuzzled by it. It's a new word for me today, confuzzled. I let my wife in the room, and that's a word she uses, so now it's in my head. Swiss sheep farmers dumped the bodies of animals killed by wolves in front of a regional government building, demanding more action against the predators. So around a dozen breeders came from the St. Bartholomew area in the western Swiss canton of Vaud to lay out their carcasses of 12 sheep in front of the regional government headquarters. These sheep were killed last night, said Eric Herb, a member of the Swiss Association, demanding the regulation of big predators, saying it is really time to act. Okay, so we are sick of this. We want the wolf killed, a farmer and butcher from a nearby municipality. Cohabitation is not possible. Our territory is too small. The protesters told the news agency that the wolves had killed 17 sheep in the same area, 2 earlier this week and 13 overnight. And the breeders have to play nice, and now it's not nice. It's not time to play nice anymore. And the breeders said they're trying to work out a deal with police, and we've got to stay up all night and try to keep an eye on our herd. Are there no guns in Switzerland at all? I mean, these farmers are out there, and there's wolves attacking their animals. I mean, how about you stay out with your herd, and as soon as you say, oh, I guess that's the wolf. I mean, a license is not required to own a gun, but a shall issue permit is needed to purchase most types of firearms. Bolt action rifles do not require an acquisition permit. Carrying weapons in public spaces requires a permit. This is not a public space. This is out with your herds. Background checks, training, immigrants and criminals are banned from owning guns. I don't understand why this is such a big deal. The farmers are out there, go out with your herds, and then sit there. And, oh my gosh, is that a wolf? Well, I guess my gun cocking didn't scare it away. I guess I'll just... And that'll be the end of it. I mean, I get that the wolves maybe are protected species. They are saying that they are happy that the wolves have been reintroduced to the landscape. But no, we cannot have that. They cannot be eating the food that we're raising. It can't happen. So you can train the dogs all you want. You can bang on little pipes all you want. But when Mr. Wolf comes around to eat our sheep, we're going to put them down. And that's just the way it is. Sorry about it. Speaking of bringing down animals, you know, we talked last week about Botswana saying that they were going to send elephants to Germany because they were, you know, Germany was banning people from sending stuffed elephants to Germany. Germany people were hunting, going to Botswana to hunt elephants, and they weren't going to allow it anymore. And Botswana's like, we got too many elephants. We've been trying to take care of them. And the reason we have too many is because we tried to not kill them in years past. And now this is part of our economy. Well, I got an email from, we'll just say from Roland at chewingthefatattheblaze.com. My husband is from South Africa. We spent time in Botswana. The farmers were put up electrified fences around their farms to keep the animals out. When a herd of elephants passed by, the adult elephants gather the juvenile elephants into a group. They're, you know, the little baby teenagers, the little baby elephants, they're teenagers, or little, you know, whatever. And they have them charge the fence. and knock it down. That is awesome. And once, okay, we're not running into it, but you guys go run it down. Your little ones, you can take the juice. And then now when they knock it down, the big elephants come in and start eating the crops. That is awesome. I mean, because it's awesome because the elephants are smart enough to realize, hey, the fence is electrified. I'm going to send the young ones up against to knock it down, and then we're going to go over and eat. So my point is that Botswana is saying, no, we can't have that anymore. And, oh, look, there's elephants trying to break down my electrified fence. What should I do? Again, though, you're probably going to need to shoot more than that gun has, like, a lot more and a bigger gun. But you have to put them down. I'm sorry. Humans first. And animals that we raise to feed and clothe humans first. That's just the way it works. Congratulations to the salmon up in Oregon, though. I got this email from Tom at chewingthefatattheblaze.com reminding me that 102,000 salmon spilled from a tanker truck. So the crash happened the end of last month, and it overturned on a sharp corner. The driver, an Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife employee, sustained minor injuries but survived the incident. Thankfully, the 53-foot vehicle skidded on its side, skirting pavement before rolling over a rocky embankment onto its roof. The picture of the truck is incredible. So it opened up a hole in the side of the tanker truck, and the salmon went into the river next to where the crash was. That is incredible. I don't know how many they lost. I don't know how many they could see. Some salmon didn't make it to the river, but the other salmon made it. So I don't know if some salmon were like, that's too far. I'm not going there. You guys go ahead. I'll be here. But they didn't survive. And so very sad that some of them have, we lost them. It should have been in Who Died Today, because looks like about 25,529 of the salmon did not survive. I guess they counted them. They did count them. So rest in peace to the 25,000 plus salmon that died. But congratulations to the other 77,000 that said, I'm out of here. Let's go. Follow me. I'm headed to the river. Okay, in this story, we talked about this on Pat Gray Unleashed. I'm filling in. I'm on that show all week, and I'll be there, well, at least Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday of this week, and probably Thursday as well on Pat Gray Unleashed. And we discussed it at length on the Saturday morning live show that I do with Brad Staggs every Saturday about the Easter Sunday heist in Los Angeles, where they claim that at least $30 million was taken from this cash story facility. So you can go back and listen to those shows. We talked about it on Pat Gray Unleashed, as I said, and we talked about it at length on our Saturday morning live show. I am just fascinated by this story. They're right as of right now, as of this recording, they don't have any leads, and they think that it was a sophisticated heist. Really? That's your FBI and your local police department. We believe that it was a sophisticated heist. Yeah, they broke into this storage facility for Garda World, and they took what they claimed to be $30 million with no alarms going off, nothing happening, no witnesses, nothing. Even the people who lived, right there next door at the Tahitian Mobile Home Park, I didn't really hear anything. One person said that they had some whirring sound in their head for a couple of hours overnight on Easter Sunday, but we don't have anything else. Oh, and the guy at the Quick Mart store close to the store said that all Easter his Wi-Fi was down and he couldn't even run his Lotto machines. So could that have something to do with the theft that was taking place at Garda World? Possible. So it's just a fascinating story. And if they actually did steal $30 million, while I am not, crime is bad. Crime is terrible. No one should steal a thing. I got it. But you know what? The neighborhood is more worried about day-to-day crime than sophisticated thieves stealing $30 million from Garda World. I guarantee you that.
And since today is Eclipse Day, I wouldn't be surprised to have one or two major thefts take place during the eclipse as well. You're going to have thousands of people looking up at the sky. That's when you can break in and take millions of dollars. I would never do that, and I am not telling people to do that. I'm just saying, don't be surprised when I have stories the next couple of days of huge thefts that took place during the eclipse. Just a thought.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.